You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Wouldn't it be nice to know the certain skills that you need to succeed in your business and in your leadership, and then just master those skills? That's what we're talking about, just certain skills you need to master to succeed in your business and in leadership. I'm Greg Lancaster. Of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello. Hello.
These are very encouraging.
Yeah, they are. They're very good.
We're picking up, obviously, where our previous program we left off. We want to be able to continue talking about these very key strategies for success.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we stopped at five, and we're picking up at six
number
in this
six.
Program. John, what is six?
Number six. This is called strategy formulation. So when you're in business, you're leading an organization, you need to be a person that has strategy or who can develop strategy. Because guess what? The best plans don't always work out. You're going to get a curveball. You're going to get a setback. And so you got to be quick on your feet. You got to be able to strategize, what I like to say, on the fly, and be able to do it in a quick way. What went wrong? Why did it go wrong? And what can we do to fix it? And who can we get to fix it, right? Those
Very
are four
good.
Things you should
yeah.
always be asking, because your business is always changing. And I see a lot of times the lag between finding out what went wrong and fixing it, it goes
right.
a long time. You're looking at dollars and cents that are leaving the door, because things, like I said, things don't always work out.
And part of the strategy too is, you know, what you did right.
Yeah.
You know, and to continue to do what you did right. So look at the positive things as well when you're reviewing and previewing your
Isn't
business.
Isn't that scary? Sometimes people leave the right thing to try something else.
Yes.
Like, oh,
happens
no.
quite often.
It was working.
Happens quite often. You know, you talk about strategy. Strategy is very important, but you can have all the best strategy in the world, but if you don't have the ability to implement that strategy, you know, and so having that strategy, but also having the skill base to actually implement it, you know, and to fulfill what you're talking about. Because sometimes you can just plan. But if you don't it's better to do something, a little something well, than to plan a big something you never plan to do at all, right?
Yeah.
And so having a strategy that you can implement is very important. And then having, as we talked about in an earlier program, you know, getting people that you're hiring that has a skill base that can fulfill those things. And I think about, you know, in a previous program we had the former CEO of GE.
Jack Welch.
Yeah, and he was talking about, what he did was he would hire the people who had not just the skill, but the ability to implement the vision.
Yeah.
You know, and he just bring in the best people. And it was so diverse. The company went from, you know, NBC, television, media, you know,
everything.
Generators, nuclear thing, all kinds of things they did.
Boeing.
But he would hire people who had the ability to implement that. And those are the people, you know, we talked about in the previous program about the young man with the Taco Bell manager just making it happen. The people that make it happen are beautiful people, and you want to be one of those people, and you want to be able to have those people. So strategies, not only just having a strategy, but being able to implement that strategy
is
so important.
I remember working with someone who was telling me they spent a lot of time designing the website, designing the business card, designing the slogan, but no time in getting sales. Listen, you have to have a strategy to get the customer and service the customer, because all that other stuff doesn't matter.
Spend 6 months on a business card, right?
Get a bad business card.
Scratch something down and open the doors.
You
yeah,
know?
right. So what is the seventh strategy?
Number seven.
And it's strategy for?
Strategies, actually they're skills that every entrepreneur, every business owner, every leader has to master.
Yes.
It's not just to acquire. You really got to become an expert in these areas, because these are your everyday tools that you're going to use to implement in your business. And so you think of it just like a carpenter has some tools. These are your tools.
Yes.
You need to master them, because you're going to need to rely upon them to get you the success that you need. And
so
number seven
yeah.
is flexibility. Oh, this is so big, because you know, so many times we have a strategy, we have a formula, we have a way of doing it. And guess what? Things change. The market changes. Your customers change. Your employees change. Why? Because life is fluid. You know, change is something that's always going to happen. But if you stay so rigid on what you're wanting to do or what you're wanting to accomplish, you may just break it.
Right.
You got to let things breathe. And you have to be a person that's perceptive to what's happening in your work environment, in your business, and also with your employees. And understanding the market. You used to be able to charge a certain amount of money at one point. Well, guess what? The market is flooded right now.
You have a global competition
now.
It's global pricing almost.
You have to change.
Yeah. That's very good. So being flexible. as flexible in every area when you think about it, not just, it's just everything. How you deal with customers, how you deal with clients, how you deal with your, you know, the way you handle and manage your, we talked about hacks, you know, tech hacks and that type of thing. But you got to be willing to shift to a better way. There's one particular hack out there that we didn't talk about during the technical hacks in a previous program is, it's called Freedom. Oh my goodness, it's an amazing particular program that you push one button and it shuts down your entire platforms, no matter what they are. And it sends no notifications, no emails, no nothing for that 90 minutes so you could focus, or that 60 minutes, or for your employees could focus.
Yeah.
And it turns off all, you know, websites or all your mobile messaging. It works off all the platforms that you have. You just set it up. And that's just one simple hack that we'd like to share with everybody in the VFNKB community. If you're not in the VFNKB community, and if you're hearing this, maybe you are. If you're not, you can go to vfnkbcommunity.com. These hacks are very, very important because you're in some global expanding economy now. You're competing with some guy in India who's willing to do some certain things. But if you understand some sort of technical hack, you know, some way, meaning some technical way to do it easier, better, and faster, then you can incorporate that in your business model, which is part of flexibility. You got to be flexibility.
That's flexible. Strong.
That's a good one. Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Number eight, we're talking about skills. Every entrepreneur, every business owner, every leader has to master to be successful in their day-to-day business and leading their organization. And number eight is financial management. My goodness, this sounds simple and it sounds basic, but it's so true. This is what gets people in trouble a lot of times, because they see money coming in, they see money coming out, bills somehow are getting paid, but they don't know what's real. They don't know what's in the books. You got to know when you're profitable, and you got to know when you're actually losing money. And there's some people that have so many transactions, it's sad when they come to find out, we're actually broke. We're floating dollars. Right. We don't have any money.
So or what's your money? Or what's the government's money?
Big taxes. Difference.
Big difference.
Big difference.
You can owe a lot of people a lot of things, but you don't want other government taxes.
Yeah. So we want to encourage you, get the resources, hire the professionals, get the software, set up good policies and procedures to be able to track the finances, and also set financial goals. You know, where do you want to be? What are certain benchmarks? 6 months, 12 months, year and a half, 5-year goals for your business.
Well, and remember this too, that, you know, people are business leaders because they're willing to do the hard work. It's not, the American dream requires American hard work to get behind it. So it doesn't just happen. So you can want your own business, but you have to be able to do the corporate papers. You have to be able to handle the meetings. You got to be able to get the CPA. You got to handle everything. You're whatever it takes. And you have to understand that management techniques, how to manage your business.
And that's the non-fun stuff, right? I mean, yes. That's the stuff people really don't want to do, right?
Right. But you learn it. I mean, there's a Department of Revenue video they love to show new owners that if you do not collect your sales taxes, they have this video of police officers coming in behind the cash register, and they put the store owner in handcuffs and carry them out of their own store and take them to jail because they didn't pay the sales tax. And so these things are very, very important. So you can't think, it's too hard and I can't do it. Listen, they're going to hold you accountable. And so being able to master, and if you can't do that, you can hire somebody who has the ability. You won't, if it's not your skill base, you can hire that skill base. We talked about that. And that's the reason why you would think about hiring a CPA. There's a big difference in an accountant and a CPA. A CPA is going to keep you more regulated in what's happening out there. But it's worth paying that person a certain amount a month. It's going to handle your 941. It's going to handle all your monthly, your annual, quarterly taxes that you have to have and keep you in line so you can focus on your widgets and what you need to make, your service, whatever you're doing out there. So that's another thing. You know, if you were in the VFNKB community and you built a relationship and we understood who you were, you'd be the first CPA we would talk about, right?
That's great.
Not because you promoted your business, but because we found out about you and who you are.
And that's what matters. I think Jack Welch said all the time, I think it was Jack Welch, someone who asked him, do you invest in companies? He goes, I really don't invest in companies because I don't have enough knowledge to know everything about all these companies. Who I invest are the people running these companies. And if they're sound, if they have integrity, if they have a proficiency to be a great leader, then I invest in the leaders of those companies.
That's good. That's very, very good. About. Listen, we're first going to go to a break. But listen, comment below. Write to us at friendsatvfnkb.com. Maybe you have some different strategies. Maybe you have some technical hacks. Maybe you understand some financial management techniques or applications. Comment below. Write to us at friendsatvfnkb.com. And also, check us out. Wherever you get your podcasts, follow us, VFN TVs, VFNKB, VFN TV, and listen to us and watch us anywhere around the world. We are talking specifically about the strategies for your success. Actually, that's not necessarily strategies, but it is.
Skills to master.
Yes,
so.
Here we are.
So here we go with number nine. And this one's called failure management. Talking about the skills.
Speaking of failure management.
We're talking about skills for business owners, leaders, small business owners to master, not just learn, but you got to be an expert in these areas. And believe it or not, no one wants to talk about failure. No one gets into business to fail. But the truth is that failure is more common than success.
Yeah.
John Maxwell wrote a book called Failing Forward. One of the most awesome things he talks about in this book is that when people do fail, we need to train them to fail forward. And that means that you learn something in the process. What did you learn about this mistake? And so part of failure management is understanding why you failed.
Right.
You know, it's not so much bad that you made the mistake. What's really bad is if you keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. At some point,
some of our best lessons come from our most painful mistakes. I mean, there's nothing like that modifies behavior like pain.
Oh.
I mean, you can struggle with something, but all of a sudden, because your company went through a season of 6 months of suffering because of a bad decision, you easily go, we don't sell that product, we don't make money on that product, and we don't do that.
Been there, done that, died there.
So pain modifies this, and so learning, you know, from success. I was listening to recently an artist who writes songs. They were talking about a real popular song that's out, a Christian song, but they thought after writing it over and over and over again that it was just gone. It wasn't going to work. And he said very specifically that you got to remember, he said, it just sucked. The song just sucks, right? And he says, success, the word success starts with sucks. And he says that you're going to go through those trials and you're going to go through difficulties and you're going to go through failures.
Yeah.
But that's where you build on them. I mean, every baseball famous player, football player, I don't know about baseball, but football player, it's a successful, for example, like Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. But they don't start that way. They begin by just trying to pick the ball up as a child and throw it, you know, and that type of thing. And they get to that place, but they make a lot. I mean, the hardest thing for me is to watch basketball and watch the score fluctuate. It's like, oh, my team's finally ahead by 20 points. And the next thing you know, it goes back the other way.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
It's an emotional roller coaster. And if they gave up when they're 10, as a matter of fact, think about the playoffs last year with, you know, up to the very moment with Steph Curry, everybody was falling out on his team, but he held up. I mean, everybody worked. But to the last moment, he was only like 3 points apart from that. And he just fought to the very end. And for some reason, people go, they lost. It's like, that's a big win if you can hold off the whole team practically, you know, and just keep making those threes, 3-point spread when all your guys are out. But you just grow through those experiences, right?
Yeah. You know, failures can be so painful as well. We want to encourage you that maybe you may be experiencing a failure right now or you're just getting over one. One thing that you have to remember about failure is that it isn't final. It's not the end. It's actually the start of a new beginning. And, you know, your setback is just the beginning for your comeback. You know, you can do this again. You need to try. Even the Bible says, even though a man falls 7 times, yet he still gets up. And so you have to have that part of your management system says that we're not going to be afraid to try. People that don't fail is because they never do anything. The fact that you stepped out onto the field and tried again means that you were still putting yourself out there. And that's what matters, because you win in the end.
It's good. And there's another thing, too, is that sometimes you failed and you don't know it yet.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? People keep throwing money at it, and they're like, let's go, let's keep everybody on staff another 6 months. And it's like, that thing died about 90 days ago or nine months ago or 9 years ago, and you just keep funding it. And I know a lot of business folks have just kept doing it because, first of all, you want to be able to keep your employees on. You build relationships with them and your customer base. But if it's costing you $100,000 a year to stay, to provide that service, it is not working. It's not working.
That happened to me one time, you know, where you're hoping and you're praying, but you're bleeding to death. You got to stop the bleeding, you know, because you're hopeful. You don't want to give up on the thing that you're working hard. But when you start looking at the books, and this is kind of one of the skills that we talked about earlier, financial management, you got to know where you're at. At some point, you got to go, we're bleeding here. You got to stop the bleeding because you're going to empty it all out.
And one thing you could do with that, because if you really like doing it, you can push that over to a side gig.
Yeah.
Just all down to a side gig and do something that's profitable for you. Because maybe it's something you really want to do, you really enjoy it, but it's not producing for you. Just downsize it all the way down to something you do on Wednesdays between 5 and 9,
that's
right?
Good.
And don't throw it away because you need that emotionally probably to be able to hang on to that. but then do what produces for you and the things that you need. So, I mean, we learned so much from failure. I think about, you know, President Lincoln. And if you look at like 15 different losses that he had, I think he ran for the garbage collector and lost the campaign. Yeah. I mean, again and again, his business failures, and he ran for Congress a couple times and failed in the elections.
A long list.
And then one day he runs for the presidency of the United States, you know, and during a difficult time. And it was so important. I really believe that God shaped him and molded him during all those failures. Mm. So when he was the president of the United States and God was going to end the evilness of slavery in America, he was going to put the man that fell the most at the top post of the country, and he was going to lead America through its place of repentance, and the Civil War would take place where America, brother was fighting brother, and all of a sudden he was able to be president over our country, and we survived. It was a miracle that we survived through that, but it was a man that fell the most that got put at the post.
A man that
right?
was tested and a man that was tried.
Yeah.
And that's what failures does. You earn those stripes, you know. Wear your scars as medals because you've earned them. You know, you've paid the price for them. But these are really powerful lessons. I think about Thomas Edison. He said, I found the 1,000th way not to make a light bulb, I think you said.
Right.
You just got to keep trying again. The failure is not as important as much as the attitude. What is your attitude about the failure? The word for can't means not can't do. The T means for can try. Don't say can try.
Very good.
So number 10, do we have time for one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, number 10. This is so important. We're talking about skills that every business leader, every entrepreneur, every small business owner has to master. And this one's called emotional intelligence. EQ. You've heard of IQ, right? Intelligence and smarts. But so many studies right now are saying that the important thing that people need to know is the ability to understand emotions. That is the greatest indicator of success today.
Empathy.
Not how smart.
And
it starts with having a self-awareness of the emotions that you experience. You may not realize this, but everything that happens in your life, you have an emotional response to it. You get a text notification, you get a phone call, you get something that happens all
pain,
throughout the
pleasure.
Day. All these, you're mm-hmm. going through all these emotions, and for so many of us, we either ignored the emotions, we either stuffed the emotions, you know, we've pushed them aside.
Or we go shopping on the emotions, or we don't purchase on the,
And what happens is that we function out of these emotions. They actually say that all these things that happen to us come through the spinal cord. They come to the center of our brain, which they call the limbic. That's where we experience emotion. And it finally goes to the frontal lobe, is where we have rational thought. And so we can reason and make an intelligent decision. So many times we're caught up, let's say, with fear, that we can't think straight. We can't make a strategy because fear has overtaken us. It's a real emotion. But if we don't have any self-awareness that we're dealing with fear, that fear can stay with you 24 hours,
you're making bad decisions,
48 hours a week. And you're making all sorts of bad decisions.
You'll back off on making appropriate decisions.
Oh my goodness!
When you have fear is your you know, it's your enemy. Yeah. It's false evidence, you know,
appearing real. There's really only five type of emotions that you can experience: is happiness, sadness, guilt, shame, and fear. And there's different variations: low, medium, high. And so you having this awareness, you're able to go, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Why am I experiencing what I'm experiencing? And then how can I manage my response? Is this an appropriate feeling for what's actually happening?
And let me tell you this, that psychopaths don't have the ability to have any emotional intelligence. Mm. They're the ones that don't have any feeling whatsoever about what's going on. They call them psycho. They have the pathology in their mind, doesn't have the ability to feel and empathize. And so we have to connect on that EQ level. It's very important.
Big time.
But you see why people run their businesses today. They aren't even connecting at all. I mean, they're running their business like a psychopath, right? They're thinking like, it doesn't work. You're going to have to connect and feel that need, right?
Yeah, you have people that sometimes are irrational because they're totally led by their emotions. They have no clue at all what is actually driving them. That's one aspect. The other aspect is having social awareness for others and the way what other people are experiencing, your employees, your customers, and that's what helps you to manage those relationships.
So it's good to tap into your own EQ and then to get to know your employees with their EQ.
Absolutely.
And then connect with your customer base on their EQ.
Yeah. Studies say that only 36% of the population can actually have self-awareness live as it's actually happening. Like most people don't know how to be able to tap into their self-awareness.
Wow. While the majority can't.
They cannot.
That's not good, because then you're misreading your client, your customer, your employee.
Totally.
You got to pause and move a little bit slower when you got to watch people. And people don't always give it away either. You got some people that are like
stoic.
Yeah, stoic, and they could be dying on the inside. One guy said, I have butterflies running around. He's like a statue. He's like, actually, it's elephants running inside of me. Yeah. Like, there ain't nothing running inside. It looks like, but really inside, he was feeling all those things.
Yeah.
So he'd be a different person that you would connect to differently to understand that even though he doesn't look like he's going through something, he's really going through something.
That's amazing. You know, your emotions are so important. I mean, I think so many people have totally disregarded them, but just like your physical hand allows you to feel and touch if something's hot or cold, it gives you that type of awareness. Your emotions tell you what's going on in your soul. And so many people are ignoring them. You need to be able to identify them so that you can actually know what are trigger events and things that are putting you in a happy state, in an angry state, in a fearful state, in a shameful state. You need to know why it's happening so that you can change that and be productive.
I don't know if you had a chance to go to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., but you need to go. I had the privilege of being there, and you'll be really encouraged. It's inspirational. It's one of the tallest buildings outside the Washington Monument there. You'll be really, in a humble way, proud of what the Green family and other ones did to be able to make a big stand for the Word of God in the middle of Washington, D.C. That's just a huge, huge thing.
So the owners of Hobby Lobby, right?
Yeah, the owners of Hobby Lobby. Of course, others did as well, but they led the charge with this. The Green family was there that during the dedication when I was there, and that the high prayer observatory at the very top is all glass at the top, so you can literally pray over the government. And we've got to go here. Listen, write to us at friendsofvfnkb.com. Comment below. What are your thoughts about what we're talking about? Even the Bible Museum. But I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray a blessing over our audience. God, bless their business. Bless their leadership. Bless their skill base, Father God. And I pray even right now, Father God, that you would just encourage them in the area of emotional intelligence, Father God, and encourage them in their time of failure, God, where they may have failed at business and failed at relationship, Father God. Get them energy and grace to be able to pick it up again, Father God. And I just pray right now, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.